Good morning, Cedarville. Yeah, it is great to be in chapel with you this morning. We are blessed to be able to worship with you. When I say we, I mean Caroline and me. We are blessed and we have been blessed this semester by watching you worship full-throated unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Thank you for being a blessing and an encouragement to us. Would you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And as you're turning there or finding that on your device, I do want to take a moment of personal privilege and give some thanks to Dr. White for the opportunity to serve at Cedarville and to preach God's word to you this morning in chapel and preach God's word to myself. Thank you, Dr. Wood, for the kind introduction. And I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to the entire advancement team right down here in front. Yeah. Our team, Student Alumni Association and Phonathon team is all here. Thank you for the encouragement. And of course, I do want to say that I have the best Bible in the gospel class this semester. All right. Sorry if you're not in my class. Nevertheless, it's a blessing and a joy to be able to open God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to begin in verse 7. And if you would stand in honor of the reading of God's word. So this is what Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, 'I believed, and so I spoke,' we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Father in heaven, we ask that you would add blessing and reading to your word. And Father, may you be glorified this morning. And Father, as we meditate and study and hear from you this morning from your word, Father, would you help us to not only be hearers of the word, but doers as well. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Several years ago, my dad and stepmom got to take a trip to Italy. And during their visit to Italy, they went to the town of Assisi. You may know it famously from St. Francis of Assisi. Assisi sits on the top of a hill, and there's a church that is there. And as they were visiting the church and walking outside of the church, they noticed as they were walking down the pathway that there were several craftspeople, artisans, on both sides of the road. My parents stopped at one of the booths there that were displaying some wares, displaying some artifacts, some gifts, and some other things, and they noticed this beautiful clay bowl. They noticed this beautiful clay bowl. This is the clay bowl. And it had been hand crafted. It had been hand-painted. And so they bought that bowl as a gift for Caroline and me. And as they bought that gift, they wrapped it up nice and tightly, and they continued on their trip, and they put it very carefully into their carry-on luggage, and they boarded a plane, and they flew back to the United States, and they got to their home in Florida, and then packed that bowl in a very well-crafted box with packing and all types of things to protect it, sent it to us at the time, Dr. Wood, to Oklahoma, where we were. Don't believe what Dr. Smith says. There's some okay things about Oklahoma, right, brother? Right. Amen. And so we got this bowl, and I opened the package, and a beautiful card that my parents had sent that we bought this bowl, and telling us a little bit about this bowl. And I began to take the bowl out of the box and admire the bowl. And as I was looking at it, the bowl hit the tile floor of our kitchen and shattered. I had it in my hands a minute, 2 minutes, stop. Nobody ever picks me for flag football. I dropped the ball and it was shattered. And I began to look at the pieces on the floor and began to just be in utter shock that this had happened. And I started to sweep up the pieces and I set them on the kitchen counter. And I looked at those pieces, some large pieces, some very small pieces, and then some that were just still dust. And I began to look at that bowl and I began to ask the question, could this bowl ever be used again? Could this bowl ever fulfill its purpose again? And that's the same question that Paul is answering in this text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. It's the very same question that he is asking and answering for us. And what he's saying and comparing that very clay bowl is he's comparing to us as well as earthen vessels, jars of clay. And he's making a point here that ministry through suffering, ministry through affliction, magnifies the glory of God in Christ. Magnifies the glory of God in Christ. And he's done this throughout so far the book or the letter of 2 Corinthians. He's done this. He's demonstrating to us what it means to magnify the glory of God in Christ, because what he's showing is that our ability to do ministry, to do gospel ministry and to live out gospel-centered lives is not based on our own power and our own ability, but it is based upon the glory and the power of Christ within us. And so he tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, that he was so utterly burdened beyond his own strength that he despaired of life itself. In fact, he said, we had received what we felt like was a sentence of death. And what was the purpose of that, he says? So that we would rely more upon God than on ourselves. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5 and 6, Paul tells us that the ministry that we have through affliction, the ministry that we have through suffering, is a ministry that demonstrates the sufficiency of God and the competence of God, not our own ability or competence or knowledge or intellectual ability. It is all about God himself. And then we get to this point in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, and he begins this weighty passage here, where he says that when we do gospel ministry, when we carry out gospel ministry through affliction, it is the frailty of our human bodies that reveals the transcendent, the exceptionally great, the awesome power of God. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Paul says that we have this treasure in jars of clay. What is this treasure that he's referring to? Certainly, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the treasure is that we have triumph in Christ, that we are triumphant in Christ. Not only that, that the treasures that we are ministers of the new covenant, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but specifically, Paul is pointing us to verse 6 here of chapter 4. The very thing that he's written before, it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What Paul is telling us here is that this treasure that we hold is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God displayed in the face of Christ. It is the gospel itself. And yet it is held within jars of clay. Jars, easily broken, easily shattered, easily afflicted. That's what he's telling us here. And to demonstrate this understanding, this idea that in this jar of clay we hold this treasure, and to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us, he demonstrates this by giving us some paradoxical or contrasting statements in verses 8 and 9. You know these well. It is, on one hand, he's describing jars of clay. And on the other hand, he's describing the hope that we have in Christ, the power that we have in Christ to continue on doing ministry in his name. He says that we are afflicted, verse 8, in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. What's cool about this is that there seems to be, in the way that Paul is writing this, is to show that sometimes affliction increases in intensity. That the affliction is increasing in intensity. We're afflicted in every way. We're perplexed, persecuted, and even struck down. There seems to be an increase in intensity, but also notice in these paradoxical statements that God's mercy and grace also increases in intensity at the measure of the affliction. He says that we are not crushed, we are not driven to despair, we are not forsaken, and we are certainly not destroyed. Amen. But not only is he demonstrating that with these paradoxical statements, he also demonstrates this in another way, and we find that in verses 10 through 12. Paul rightly understands that Christ has suffered for us. And in the suffering for us, we have incredible benefits in that we have access to God through faith, salvation in Christ. Christ suffers, and we have benefits. And so Paul is saying here that when we suffer in ministry, that when we work through life, gospel-centered lives through affliction, we also demonstrate and proclaim to the world those very same benefits. The very same benefit of salvation in Christ. So look with me here. He demonstrates and shows the suffering in verses 10, 11, and 12 at the beginning of those verses. So verse 10a, we always are carrying in the body the death of Jesus. 11a, for we who live are always being given over for Jesus' sake. And then in 12a, so death is at work in us. Paul is clearly communicating that suffering is part of the Christian life, and there are ways that we, our own bodies demonstrate, our own testimonies demonstrate that we are experiencing the sufferings. But in that, Paul also wants to come back and tell the Corinthian church is that we also, they also are, as they're carrying out that, they demonstrate God's blessing. So in 10, verse 10, the reason that the blessing is, or the blessing is that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. In verse 11b, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Again, carrying on that theme of fragile earthen vessels. And then finally, he says in verse 12b, that the benefit, God's blessing, is that life is in you. And as we carry out the ministry, gospel-centered lives, that we reveal the fact that God's power is at work. God's power is at work, the transcendent power of God. But not only that, Paul continues on and tells us that trust and obedience through affliction results in the glory of God in Christ, results in the glory for God in Christ. So Paul then makes this transition in verses 13 and 14, and he is really giving a summary of everything that he's written in 7 through 12. He's giving the summary, and he says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak. Here, Paul is quoting Psalm 116:10 and applying it to himself. He's applying it to himself. Psalm 116 is a psalm where the psalmist has written about the fact that he was at the point of death, some type of sickness, some type of illness. And yet God saved him. God brought him through that moment. And he's speaking and giving praise to God and communicating what God has done for him. And Paul is doing the same thing here and applying it to himself and saying that because that God has brought us through the suffering, that we're able to be able to continue to do ministry, that we also believe in what God is doing. We also believe that God is working through us, and so we also speak. We also speak. There's a truth here to know that when we are walking through very difficult times, difficult seasons in our life, that we are also called to speak the truth of the goodness of God. Despite affliction, despite pain, despite agony, we also know that God is good to us. And God is using these very things so that glory would be found for him in Christ Jesus. And how does he do this? How does he have the ability to do this? Well, one, he puts his trust in this, verse 14. He knows that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. He is trusting in the resurrection, the hope of the resurrection. And it is, the way Paul writes this, it may be better for us to see this, is as God is the one who presents us to Christ as his reward, his gifts. God presents us. He's the one that presents us to Christ Jesus. What a great hope that we have that when we trust and obey through affliction, it is God who receives the glory in Christ. And then verse 15, he says, this is for all your sake, or for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase the thanksgiving to the glory of God. It is all. What is he talking about? What is this all? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that he was at the point of death, right? 2 Corinthians, what we see right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, those paradoxical statements. All this suffering, all these things are for you, which is why we are speaking and proclaiming the truth. Why? Because as more and more people experience the grace of God, in other words, as more and more come to saving faith in Christ, there is more and more thanksgiving around the world to the glory of God. To the glory of God. Brothers and sisters in this room this morning, and maybe those that are watching online, I don't want you to be ignorant, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The Christian life is marked more by suffering than it is marked by comfort. Faithfulness and obedience to Christ is marked more by suffering than it is marked by comfort. I don't want you to be naive about that. But the very thing that you may be walking through right now, and given a room this size and what we have in the number of this room, there are probably many things that are you're walking through, many afflictions and hardships and pain and agony. But Paul is indicating here that the very thing that you may be walking through, that you're suffering right now, may be the very thing that brings someone else to faith in Christ. There's purpose in our suffering, and that is so that others might know the very thing that we know, and that is Jesus as Lord. And we know God the Father as the God of all comfort and the Father of mercies, as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that your very suffering may be the very thing that is bringing someone else to faith in Christ as you suffer and as you speak truth. Finally, Paul tells us here that as we're walking through this very suffering, and that it is grace is extending to more and more people to increase thanksgiving to the glory of God, we persevere through the trials because of the hope that we have in the resurrection. Look what he says in verse 16. He says, So in light of what we know, that God is the one who will raise us from the dead and bring us into the presence of Christ, that he is the one, so that grace extends more and more, so we do not lose heart. We do not despair. We do not worry. We do not fear. We do not lose heart because we have the very hope of the resurrection, that we too one day will be raised from the dead and be in the very presence of Christ our Lord. We have the hope of the resurrection, and so therefore we persevere, we do not lose heart. Brothers and sisters, Cedarville, whatever you're walking through right now, keep going, keep walking, keep persevering, because you have the hope of the resurrection if your faith is in Christ. Paul says that we do not lose heart even though our outer self is wasting away. Though the outer self, the outer man, is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. The external fades, but the internal is thriving and growing because of the work of the Spirit of Christ in our lives. The external is fading. Most of you are very young in this room. I too was young at one point, trust me. I at one time didn't have a lick of gray hair, and now I got a full head of it. And it wasn't that long ago. At one time, I did not have a surgically repaired back, but I do now. The external fades, but God's work in us continues to help us thrive and grow in Christ. And how do we view these moments? How do we view this? Well, Paul tells us in verse 17, this is a light, momentary affliction. I know that right now, the very thing that you're walking through may not seem like a light, momentary affliction. It may seem pretty daunting and pretty big. But Paul wants us to put that in perspective. In light of eternity, this is a light, momentary affliction. The weight of it, the lightness of it, it's like a feather, the momentary of it. It's a second in time. Paul understood this very well. Paul himself understood this very thing. Paul speaks from experience. How do we know this, that he sees this as a light momentary affliction? How can he see this? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, as we talked about, he felt that he had received the sentence of death. He talks about all those things that he's walking through here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And how about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11? You know this very well, this passage where Paul is talking about all the affliction, all the suffering that he has been through. He says that I've been through far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 and 1 I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, that is the Jews, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. Goodness, Paul, is there any place there wasn't danger? I can just see Paul now going, stranger danger, stranger danger. He says, in toil and in hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and in thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. That is some of the physical sufferings that Paul had faced. But look here in verse 28, if you're there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll read it to you. It's not just the physical for Paul. Look at verse 28. It says, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Paul was worried about all the churches that he had ministered to, that he had helped plant, that he had helped start, all the churches that we find letters, epistles in the New Testament. He was worried about them. Mental anguish, not just physical suffering, but mental suffering as well, anxiety. Paul understood very much what it meant to suffer, and for him, he says, verse 17, this is a light momentary affliction because I have the resurrection in view. I have eternity in view. The eternal weight of glory is beyond all comparison. What we get is beyond all comparison. If you are found in Christ, what Paul is saying, if you are found in Christ, then you get everything that Jesus gets. You are an heir, a son, and a daughter. And that you get life eternal and get to rule for eternity with Christ. So can we face this light, momentary affliction for an eternal weight of glory so that, as Paul writes in other places, that we are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another? Eternity in view in spite of the affliction that we walk through. Eternity in view. In our weakness, it is God that shines most brightly. The hardships of life, the suffering, the things that we face in the Christian life and our commitment and faithful service to Christ can cause cracks in our earthen vessels can cause our jars of clay to become broken. And at times it may even feel as if we are shattered like that clay bowl from Italy. My father-in-law is an incredible handyman. He can do things and fix things that I've always been amazed at. And I called him and we were talking about the clay bowl, and I sent him some pictures and I said, "Do you think you could do anything with this? I mean, it's in lots of different pieces." And on their next visit, he came, he looked at all the pieces and he took it home, and sometime later he called me and he said, "I think it's done." And he had painstakingly put the pieces back together, and it was once again a bowl. But now it was a bowl with imperfections. In fact, I have the bowl with me today. Don't drop it, I know. You can't really see it from here, but you can see all the places that the bowl is broken. In fact, you might be able to see this little spot right here. It is pretty ugly. You can see right through the bowl. In fact, I can see you, very pinpoint hole. But you know what's really cool about this? Yeah, it probably won't hold Captain Crunch or soup anymore. But it is a wonderful testimony of the fact that God puts together broken earthen vessels. And now what's really cool about this is now as it sits in our home, light shines through those very holes. And that's the same exact thing that Paul is talking about here, that God wants to demonstrate, that even though our earthen vessels are held together by the power of divine adhesive, in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shines through these cracks for the world to see him in you. So today, as a jar of clay, through your affliction, through your suffering, would you give glory to God for all that he has done and proclaim Jesus Christ is Lord? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of your word. Father, I pray this morning for your encouragement, for the power that you have spoken about through Paul in your word in the letter to the church at Corinth. That very power that surpasses understanding, that is exceptionally great, that is one that gives you glory. Would you pour that out on all of us today, but especially those who are walking through difficult moments? And Father, as we prayed at the beginning, Father, would you help us to be doers of this word, not just hearers? To the glory of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless you.